إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. My brother أبو فارس، can everyone hear me? Alhamdulillah. Verily all praise is due to the Almighty Lord. We praise Him, we seek His assistance and His aid. We beseech His forgiveness. We take refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of our souls and our evil actions. He, whom the Almighty Lord guides, know that no one can ever misguide. And He, whom the Almighty Lord misguides, no, my beloved brothers and sisters, no one on the face of this earth can ever guide Him. I bear witness without any compulsion that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, ascribing no partners unto Him. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, al-Hashimi, al-Qurayshi, was the last messenger and the servant of the Almighty Lord, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, as you all know, was sent with the truth, and the truth is no other than Islam. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. The deen, the path, the way before the Almighty Lord that is only accepted in the life of this world and in the next is this beautiful blessing, this beautiful mercy, this beautiful way that we love so dearly, that we hold so strongly, that we follow internally and externally, the deen of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He was sent with this truth, such it may manifest and become superior over all other religions, over all other ways, over all other paths, over infidelity, over blasphemy, over corruption, over evil, wickedness and mischievousness. And walillahi alhamd, this deen is walillahi alhamd, supreme, victorious to all those who uphold it. who stand steadfast, who stand firm on the path of the truth, and that is only Islam. And as he says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whosoever desires another path other than that of Islam, he will indeed be one of the losers, for indeed Allah will never ever accept it from him, and on the day of resurrection he will be from among those who are lost, doomed, destroyed, who will fall in eternal damnation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came just perceiving the hour. Why? For no other to give glad tidings of eternal salvation, the path of paradise, to give it, to stretch out his arm and basically give it to all those who accept his message unconditionally, to accept the Quran, to accept the Sunnah unconditionally. That is as easy as it, as that. As long as you accept implicitly and explicitly the deen of Islam, the way it was taught by no other than the leader of creation, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you insha'Allah ta'ala will enter eternal bliss, will enter paradise. And the Almighty Lord is truthful. He is the most truthful. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truthful. He does not lie. So all you have to do is accept this beautiful deen that is before your very eyes, and wallahi, you have attained ultimate salvation, which is Islam, which is paradise. May the Almighty Lord make us all among those who enter paradise without any retribution, without any accountability, without any judgment, without any punishment. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ameen. Likewise, he was sent as a warner of severe chastisement, of severe punishment. To who? Basically, to all those who reject, who deny the message of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. May the Almighty Lord distance us from all those who are evil people and who adhere to no other than evil. And this is the meaning of al-bara', al-bara', to distance yourself from all those people who are clinging, adhering to falsehood, to obscenity, to indecency, to kufr. You must distance yourself from these people and not be in a state of company or association or to socialize with them. Yes, they are my friends. You have no friends from these people. This is an essential element relating to the declaration of faith. Al-wala'u wal-bara'. Al-wala'u, which is allegiance to only those who are allies, who are friends, who have given their allegiance to only Allah, his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers. While al-bara' is to distance yourself, to reject, to oppose all those who contradict the allegiance to Allah, who contradict the teachings of Islam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent at a time where the hearts of men were thirsty, thirsty for the truth, longing for a way out of darkness and into light. He was sent at a time where ignorance was prevailing. So the Almighty Lord through him replaced ignorance with understanding, with knowledge. He replaced negligence with wakefulness. He replaced those who are proud and arrogant with humbleness and sound iman. He replaced unseen eyes with visualization. He replaced locked ears with open ears to the truth. He replaced sealed hearts with hearts that accepted La ilaha illallah. For him, the Almighty Lord, this great man, he led the disbeliever to faith, the polytheist to monotheism, the heretic to the sunnah, the disobedient to obedience, the negligence to wakefulness. He came to bring Muslims, servants, people back to their Lord. He came to assist the youth who have immersed, as we see today, themselves in ultimate abyss, disobedience, in corruption, in mischievousness. He, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, pulled them out of this darkness, of this evil, and taught them the way of La ilaha illallah. And most importantly, my beloved brothers, through him, the Almighty Lord distinguished the blissful people of paradise from the wretched denizens of hellfire. As Muslims, my beloved brethren, my beloved sisters, our ultimate aim in this life is one. Not two, not three, but one. And that is to establish Allah's deen in its entirety. In its entirety. In our souls, in our homes, in our institutions, in our society, in our relatives, cousins, families, schools, and upon every inch that we step on the face of this earth. Are we not the slaves of the Almighty Lord? Are we, my beloved brothers and sisters, are we not the slaves of no other than the Creator, the Great Master, the most gracious, most merciful, our fashioner, our molder, the one that gave us what we have? Yes, we are. And he is the one that says to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Muhammad, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَالنُّسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Say, O Muhammad, say and teach your ummah that my prayer, my sacrifice, my living, I repeat, my living and my dying, not only my living, as well as my dying, are all for Allah, the Lord of mankind, who has no associates, no partners. He is in no need of company. He is in no need of family. He is in no need of association. He is the great, the most powerful, Allah. And in this, I believe, and I am the first of the Muslims. This is our path. This is our way. This is the path of light, the path of salvation. And there is no other path, which is to establish Allah's deen in its entirety, totality, completely, in our lives, in our families, in our relatives, in our cousins. You know, you are not obliged to go out on the streets and say, I've got to convey or proclaim the word of the Almighty Lord to all humanity. You are commanded, you are obliged to do that which is in your capacity, in your ability, and no other. But know, my beloved brother and my beloved sister, that when you embark upon this great epic, upon this great endeavor, upon this great, great path, you will certainly meet many obstacles, many obstructions, many things before you, will confront you, many satanic obstacles which will try and try and try to dig in this path of yours and destroy it. Destroy this golden path which you are trying so strongly to uphold and to achieve in order that you enter, insha'Allah ta'ala, ultimate salvation. You know, today, if you look around, you'll definitely see, wherever you go, whether it's in front of you, behind you, on your left side, on your right side, from the top, from the bottom, wherever you look, you see obstacles, you see problems, you see evil. These are the obstacles that I am referring to. Whether it is wealth, whether it is lustful desire, whether it is ostentation or boastfulness, whether it is rank and position, whether it is woman or men, whether it is family, whether it is arrogance and pride, trials and trials and trials in many different forms, shapes and sizes. This is the test. This is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confronting you with, to see how strong, how steadfast, how firm you are in your conviction when you utter the word, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. See, it's not just a matter of utterance, it's a matter of application, it's a matter of striving. Hard, jihad, striving against one's whim, against one's sin, against one's desire. An-nafsul lawama, an-nafsul ammara, that low commanding ego of yours, to destroy it and destroy it, so it becomes so destroyed that you just step on it and it has no effect on you in this life. But surely, what we are witnessing today is a dangerous obstacle before us. Many dangerous satanic blows. This is why you gotta keep that shield up, and the shield is faith. The shield is Islam. The shield is Imanu Billah. An istiqamah, to be steadfast and firm in the face of adversity. And you know, we see around us that we are definitely living, wallahi, we are definitely living in a world of cause and effect. A world of cause and effect. When we see the things around us, we are bound as human beings who have been created in such a deficient, in such a sort of simplistic form, weak form, we are bound to be influenced by its external features. This is the world. We are easily influenced, affected by its external features. Why? Because when you see that comfort, prosperity, honor, dignity, integrity, reputation is all due to wealth and worldly resources, we involuntarily rush full speed. We accelerate. We push that pedal down in full speed. We rush to get these things, so much so that we forget Allah. So much so that we forget to distinguish between halal and haram. So much so that we forget to distinguish between right and wrong. So much so that we forget to distinguish between the path to paradise and the path to hellfire. This is the obstacles I am referring to. The devil will certainly throw at you and throw at you and throw at you until he will try his utmost, wallahi, his utmost ability to destroy you. And our children, our youth, are living in this world. You can either allow them to live in a life of darkness, or you can bring them up, or be around them, and make sure they live in a life surrounded with no other than the likeness of Islam, the beauty of Islam. It all depends upon his or her upbringing. And this is our children. These are our young brothers or sisters. These are our older brothers and sisters. It is up to us, for those who the Almighty Lord has blessed with wisdom, have blessed with faith, with certainty, with understanding, with the recognition of the path of paradise, to teach. Firstly, his parents, his family, his wife or her husband, his brothers or sisters, his sons or daughters, his aunties, or his uncles, and so forth. This is our duty. In many parents, for example, or brothers and sisters, are so dedicated. You know, subhanAllah, I'm pretty sure, you know, people in the West have experienced this and have lived through this. Many of us are so dedicated that our children or our brothers or our sisters complete all their studies, that they obligate them, they command them to be engrossed in textbooks for hours, textbooks of the dunya, for hours, for days, for weeks, for months, for years and years and years. They command them, they obligate them, they keep refreshing their mind. Have you completed your revision? Have you done your homework? Have you slept enough so you can get up early in the morning for your exam? Have you had your breakfast so you can be sure that when you go to school you are strong in understanding the professor or the teacher and so forth? They're so dedicated to completing their studies and to get that secular degree, no problem. There's no problem with getting a secular degree. But the problem is when you sacrifice the deen of Allah in order to get the deen of the devil, the way of the devil, the degree of the devil. It can become a devilish degree. When does it become a devilish degree? When you sacrifice the deen of Allah in order to get that degree. It can become a good and positive degree when you do not sacrifice the deen of Allah, and at the same time you are attending your studies and you are working hard, but it is not in the cost of your deen. So this becomes, inshallah, halal. But many parents or many families are so engrossed that they do not even care about their sons or daughters' deen. They are so focused on making sure the child gets up early in the morning, whether it's 7 o'clock in the morning, he has his breakfast or she has a breakfast, she washes up and so forth, she gets ready and prepared for school, but when they have to get up for Fajr, there's no one inside, not a whisper to be heard. Everyone is snoring. Now you've got to have enough sleep, they say. You can't get this poor chap up in the morning so early. He's not going to have a good day at school. He will not be able to be vigilant or alert or wakeful. So they are so engrossed in the dunya that they forget their deen. And this is sad. And this is sad. This is extremely sad. For indeed they have sold their children to this world and they have forgotten the path of Allah Ta'ala. And you get other people who I've heard in here in Malaysia that send their children, for example, to non-Muslim countries, whether to Australia or to England or to America or anywhere in Europe. What for? So they can become the people who have attained an affluent degree, a so-called affluent degree. They send them to them universities there, abandoning the way of their life. For example, here in Malaysia, you've got a better life than Australia, Islamically. And when you send them to Australia, where many, many go from Malaysia or from Asia, or they go to America, but the majority go to Australia, they send them to the University of New South Wales, or Sydney University, or Monash University in Melbourne, and so forth. And then what happens to them? These young ladies and gents, what happens to them is they become so in love with Western culture and their lifestyle that they start mimicking, emulating, resembling them. And they like to relay the words of non-Muslims. They think it's cool. They think it's the way of life. They think that we have to update, we have to advance and become progressive in our ways. Because they've lived in Malaysia, for example, and all they've been taught is there's adhan, there's prayer, there's Islamic ethics and morals, there's this and that. But they think, or they have taken it as a backward step when they see the people of the so-called affluent first world countries. Wallahi, in reality, what these parents are doing, yet they do not know, is exactly as if they're throwing their son or their daughter in an ocean of darkness. In an ocean of darkness, where from the top are heavy rains crushing down at him, and waves surrounding him, heavy, giant waves falling and falling and falling and crushing likewise down on him. And this young man, this young lady, wants someone to help her or help him. So he reaches or she reaches out her hand in order to be saved by someone, because there's no one around that can help this person. They are in a land of kufr, surrounded by kufr. So when this person is thrown in this ocean of darkness, she or he stretches out her hand or his hand and says, please help me. This is not my life. And there's no one around. But suddenly, someone reaches out to this young child and tries to grab her or his hand. But immediately, listen carefully, immediately, many other hands grab this hand that is a good hand and pulls this hand back. So this chap or this lady do not get saved from this ocean of darkness. For wallahi, there are many, many enemies out there that do not want your son or your daughter or your brother or sister to be taught the way of Islam. And sending them to such places, wallahi, you are throwing them in an ocean of darkness and thus leaving them to corruption and destruction. My beloved brothers and sisters, the Almighty Lord created us for a reason, for a purpose, an infinite wisdom. He, Allah, expects man to remain his devoted servant all through his life. In this life, in this world, we live with the good and bad. We live with the righteous and the evil. We live with the grateful and ungrateful. We live with the believer and non-believer. We live with those who act according to what Allah wants them to, and we live with those who act in accordance to the devil's ways. We live with the perfect, we live with the flawed, we live with the big and the small, we live with the fat and skinny, we live with the ignorant and the knowledgeable, we live with all sorts of people, all of us living side by side on this earth that the Almighty Lord has given man for a little time. All being trialed, all being examined, all being tested with many tribulations, with many afflictions, with many trials. But we know one thing for certainty, that at the end, we are all going back to Allah. Wallahi, all of us, the good and the bad, the believer and the non-believer, all of us are all going back to the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created jinn and mankind, and the one who is currently testing man and jinn in order to see the truthful from the liar. As he says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتَرَكُوا أَنْ يَكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا
وليعلمن الكاذبين.
These people think that they were created. They were given this life. They were given this earth. They were given these limbs to say that we believe and then left alone. No! No, my brothers and sisters, we were given these limbs after Allah blessed us with life, with the intellect. We were given all this in order to be examined. To be examined. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We indeed examined, tested those that came before us. See, it's not only us that were or that are examined. It is all humanity. It is all jinn. Thousands of years have passed. Billions and billions and billions of people have been examined already. And they are in their grave. Wallahi, in their grave, either in a state of bliss or in a state of destruction. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And then certainly, when we are before the hands of the Almighty Lord, His perfect, excellent hands, that suit His majesty and glory, when we are before His hands, He will certainly know those who were truthful in this life, and He will certainly know those who were liars in this life. Truthful in their faith, not on their tongue only, but in their faith. Those who accepted La ilaha illallah, those who fulfilled the conditions of La ilaha illallah, those who upheld and worked and implemented the pillars of Islam. Those who were truthful in the statement La ilaha illallah. For Allah, we have many out there that say La ilaha illallah, but it is no more than a tongue. And thus, air coming out of their mouths onto the air or into the air and thus vanishing, evaporating with no conviction, with no reality, with no at all acceptance. But they say we are Muslims. They are not Muslims. This is the meaning. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And Allah will certainly know those who were truthful in the utterance, in the statement of the declaration of La ilaha illallah. In reality, when they uttered the meaning or the word La ilaha illallah, they uttered it from their heart. They uttered it with their limbs. They performed righteousness, and righteousness is the implementation of the obligations that the Almighty Lord has and had imposed upon humanity. And then He will know certainly those who lied with this declaration. This is an altar or an altering message for humanity. You can say in reality it is a life-altering message. You know, this world, subhanAllah, is not the world that it appears to be. This is not our destination. This is only a transitional, a temporary stage. You know, many of us say, look at these kuffar. They've got their beautiful cars. They've got their beautiful attire. They enjoy themselves, they say. They do what they please. They go where they want. They eat how they want and what they want. They act how they want and how they please. They flirt, they mingle, they touch the opposite sex. They do and escape and this and that in every satanic way. See, you see, Muslims, unfortunately, have weakness in their faith, be influenced or affected by their ways. But Allah Ta'ala tells you, do not be deceived of this world, and do not be deceived of those people who did not believe. It is only something like a mirage. You think that they are enjoying themselves, but wallahi, the most truthful, the all truthful Almighty Lord told us that they are not enjoying themselves. And wallahi, they are not enjoying themselves. And Allah is the most truthful. Who is enjoying himself? The only one that enjoys himself in this life and who will attain ultimate enjoyment is the person who implements La ilaha illallah. And we know the hadith that on the day of resurrection, that the kafir, the one who lived the most affluent, enjoyable, happy life, he will be dipped for less than a second in shofar and then pulled out, and he will be asked, did you enjoy anything in your life? He will say, never, never, never. Why? Because he sees what awaits him. He sees the severity, the gravity of hellfire that is currently now, as we speak, crushing each other, eating each other. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ مَا دِي أُوْمَيْتِ اللَّهُ سَيْلَ سَمِيْتَ. Likewise, he will grab the person of paradise, the person who lived in this life in the most simplistic ways, in the hardest ways. He implemented Allah's law. He upheld Allah's law. He was patient in that which Allah loves. Patience in the face of adversity. And he will be brought. This is the person who lived the most simplistic, basic lifestyle. He will be dipped in paradise and then pulled out for less than a second. And he will be asked, have you experienced any difficulty, any burden, any hardship in the life of the world that you just came from? He will say, Ya Allah, never, never, never. Why? Because he sees that which he is awaiting him, which is ultimate salvation, ultimate happiness. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, why do we not ponder and reflect upon these beautiful ahadith? Why do we not have patience? This life, wallahi, is nothing. It is surely going to waste very shortly. We have not much time on this earth. Our time is restricted. It is limited. It is constricted. It is only a little time. Let us work hard. Let us love Allah. Let us implement Allah's deen in our lives, in our families, in ourselves, in our relatives, in our cousins, in our friends, in its entirety, to that which you are capable of. You will be, inshallah, the winner, the victorious, and the Almighty Lord will give you supremacy, and He will give you contentment and happiness, and He will give you joy, and He will give you love, and He will place it in your heart, and you will be the happiest person on earth. And no matter what confronts you, no matter what obstacle, no matter what satanic whisper or confrontation comes before you, you know that this is evil, and you push it aside with no problem, but with all ease. Walillahi alhamd. May the Almighty Lord make us among those. You know how many people are out there? And it's extremely sad. You see, many people who have come to this earth, have lived on this earth, have been blessed with the blessing of senses, hearing, touching, smelling, feeling. And yet, they live on this earth and then they die. Yet they do not know where, why they came to this earth, nor where they will go thereafter. It is sad. This is sad. We all know that the Almighty Lord created two possible destinations. Two possible destinations. One, the path of eternal salvation, and two, the path of eternal doom and gloom, the path of eternal damnation. It is up to each one of us to decide which path you want, and then you look at that path you chose, and inshallah, no sane person will ever choose failure over success, or destruction, over salvation, or damnation, over eternal bliss. No one, no sane person will ever choose that. But as we all know, that paradise, eternal bliss, needs effort, needs sweat, needs willpower, needs patience, needs work, needs strength and endurance, needs you to hold this deen and apply it in your day-to-day life, whether in your sleep, whether in your awakeness, whether in your eating, drinking, standing, sitting, association, company, no matter where you are, what you are doing, it needs Islam. You need Islam to flourish in your life. Let it run through your blood, my beloved brothers and sisters. This is the path of eternal salvation and May the Almighty Lord distance us from the path of damnation. I will leave it at that, inshallah. I've taken too much of your time. I was only going to give you a basic reminder, which was about 20 minutes, but subhanAllah, as you see, time always beats us. And this is one of the minor signs of the hour, which is time passing quickly. So we ask the Almighty Lord that the time that we utilize is in that which He loves and is pleased with, and not wasted in lust vain, like the majority of people today are doing. Just recently I was outside in KL about 2 weeks ago, and we all know we're in the blessed month of Taqwa, the blessed month of Ramadan. And I saw people just hanging about when Tarawih prayer was being announced, was being prayed. These people were drinking, they were smoking cigarettes. These are Muslims I'm talking about. They were flirting with women. And this is a sad, sad experience. And this, unfortunately, is the situation of our current affairs. This is why we Muslims, a'udhu billah, are so humiliated. And it is no other because of what our hands have earned. Bima kasabat aidi. Before our hands have earned. So we ask the Almighty Lord that He protects us. He protects our families. He protects our relatives. He protects us from all this evil. For wallahi, it is no other than an obstacle that the shaitan is just throwing at you day after day, night after night, week after week. And he is trying to tackle you, to invade you, to destroy you. So what your duty is to raise that shield, a strong shield, and combat this person, this devil, this shaitan, this evil, wicked spirit. Kill him, destroy him. And the only way you can do that is by upholding the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Now, inshallah, especially in this month of Taqwa, this month of Ramadan. Now, I'll leave it at that, inshallah Ta'ala, since I do know that there are many questions that would like to be asked. And I will allow, inshallah, for the brothers and sisters to entertain us with their questions. And by the will of the Almighty Lord, we will try to answer these questions to the best of our capability. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings, and may He inshallah bless us with that which He loves and desires. Kulji has asked the question, what happens to a person who dies in Ramadan? Is he excused from the torments of the grave? Obviously, Ramadan is a month of speciality, a month of light, a month in which the doors of paradise are open and the gates of hellfire are locked, and indefinitely the devils are shackled. And we know that the Almighty Lord throughout this month forgives people, envelops people with His mercy and blessings. He saves people from the torment of hellfire. Now, however, we cannot say that a person who dies in Ramadan will ultimately go to paradise or be saved from the torments of the grave. There is no confirmation, which I know of, that says that Ramadan is one of the saviors from the punishment of the grave. However, if a person is a person who is a Muslim, who uttered the declaration of faith with certainty, with conviction, with love, with acceptance, and most importantly, with full implementation, then inshallah ta'ala, why should he be punished in the grave? What we've got to understand, my beloved, is that Allah ta'ala is the most truthful. And He inspired revelation on the most truthful tongue, and that is the tongue of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he told us the truth. Any authentic narration that comes to us, we believe in it. We believe in it wholeheartedly, with no doubt. With no doubt. Because if you have doubt in it, you are not a Muslim. One of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is to believe with certainty in all that that has come in the Quran and in all that that has been uttered by the best of utterers, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, be assured, my beloved brothers and sisters, that if you are a person who upholds the kalima, the declaration of faith, who believes in it and applies it, that the Almighty Lord has promised you eternal salvation, has promised you, insha'Allah ta'ala, the protection from the punishment of the grave and the protection from the great day of the day of resurrection. Al-Faz'ul Akbar, the great fear of the day of judgment. So insha'Allah ta'ala, we live in this life with this, with that which is called Al-Khawf wal-Raja', with fear and with hope. Fear that before we commit any act of disobedience, we fear Allah. We fear Allah that if we commit this, that this could lead us to punishment. So we fear Allah and abstain from it. And we live with hope. And in hope means that when we do that which He commanded us, whether it is praying or fasting or paying zakat or performing the pilgrimage to Mecca, we have hope that by performing this, this action inshaAllah ta'ala will entail us to receive Allah's mercy and thus paradise. So we live in this world with fear and hope. And at the time of our, when we are on the brink of death, on our deathbed, we, insha'Allah, have hope that the Almighty Lord will enter those who were His servants in reality to paradise. And insha'Allah ta'ala, we are among those who enter paradise without punishment or judgment. Abu Faris, my beloved brother, what will happen to the Shiites insha'Allah? This is not insha'Allah the place of dialogue for this topic. Bi-idhnillah, we have more important issues to discuss than the people of rejection, not Shiites. The people of rejection, because I don't call them Shiites. Don't praise these people. They're not called Shiites, they're called rejectors of faith. So, basically, I leave it at that. I don't like discussing now and here the topic of those who rejected in reality La ilaha illallah. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. My beloved شيخ and student inshallah عبد الغني الباس, تفضل. Can I explain the night of Qadr? Basically, you need a whole lesson to explain this beautiful night of decree, this beautiful night of power, one of the greatest nights, or the greatest nights, of the whole year. SubhanAllah. Now, as it being on the 27th night, there is no authentic narration that confirms its precise night, specifically. However, we do believe that there are authentic narrations that mention it is inshallah, as the hadith mentions, in the last 10 nights, and to be more specific, it mentions in the last odd night of the last 10. In the last odd night of the last 10, inshallah ta'ala. And this is where, in this inshallah, is when you have to try your utmost to seek the night of decree. So basically, you know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tie his belt, so to say, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And this is only a couple of days away, inshallah. He used to wake up his wives, and likewise encourage them to pray more and to do more righteous duties, more acts of worship, especially during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, where he hardly slept, you can say, during the last 10 nights. And we all know that he performed i'tikaf in these nights and remained in, you can say, a religious solitude or isolation between himself and Allah Ta'ala, where he worshipped Allah Ta'ala to that which he loves and desires. He also allowed his wives to do i'tikaf. And this is the sunnah, that if a particular mosque in your area caters for women, not only for men, and allows them to do i'tikaf, it is sunnah for a woman to do i'tikaf with her husband or with other sisters, if that place caters for them. For indeed, the mothers of the believers, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, performed i'tikaf. And they even performed i'tikaf after the Prophet's death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the ahadith, the authentic ahadith, mention. They used to put up tents in the actual mosque, and there they recited and performed acts of worship. So I repeat, the night of decree is on the odd night of the last 10 nights. But however, try your utmost ability to worship Allah to the best of your capability and with your utmost love to Allah Ta'ala in the last 10 nights. And inshallah, if you seek this night of decree, it is like worshipping Allah 83 years. It is like worshipping Allah 83 years. Allahu Akbar. One night, my beloved brothers and sisters, is equal to 83 minimum years of worship. Allahu Akbar. And in that night, the angels descend and envelop the believers, saying, Salam, peace on you, peace on you, peace on you, until the appearance of Fajr. What a beautiful night. So, can you imagine missing out on this beautiful night? If you miss out and you are negligent or you're heedless towards this, seriously, what is left in your life? What is left in your life? So try your utmost ability to, inshallah, attain this great goal, his ultimate, inshallah, ambition, the night of decree. Walillahi alhamd. Allahumma ameen, wa iyyakum, inshallah ta'ala, wa jami' al-ummah. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Lisa. Look, basically we've all heard of this blasphemy. And obviously in Islam, because in Islamic law, this person, without any shadow of a doubt, is executed under an Islamic law. I repeat, under an Islamic law. Now, unfortunately, the ummah, as you see it today, is degraded, is downtrodden, is humiliated or disparaged. Why? Because of what their hands have earned. Do you think if we were in the first or the early days of Islam, there would be such an evil scum
by this devil that will have the courage to do what he did? In Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to whip people just for causing basic issues which did not relate to Islam. He used to whip them till they bled, as the hadith mentioned. What we need today, Sister Lisa, is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What we need today is Saifullah Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who we need today, and what we need today, is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But where are they? Where are they? In Saudi Arabia? In Saudi Arabia? Or in the Middle East? Or in the subcontinental? No more than puppets for the American terrorists or the Western terrorists? Our situation today is because of our situation, of our own hands. You know, us Muslims, as civilians, as individuals, unfortunately, what can we do except dua that Allah destroys people like him? Is there anything else that we can do? What is demonstrations or protests going to assist us as a nation? What we need to do is uphold Islam in our lives, and as I mentioned in my little talk, my little reminder, in its entirety, upon every inch of this earth, and until we return back to Allah, all of us, we gotta look at our own faults and why we are so humiliated today. We all gotta go back to Allah. We all gotta worship Allah the way He wants us to worship, and wallahi, He will give us victory. Wallahi, He will give us supremacy. Wallahi, we will be inshallah superiority and not the inferiority. It is our fault that this is happening. Because the majority of the world, as the hadith mentions, have loved one, which is the life of this world. The life of this world. And they fear death. And this is the hadith, the same hadith says, that the Almighty Lord will take from the disbeliever's heart, from the kuffar's heart, fear of you. They will no longer fear us. And this is what we have fallen in. This is the degradation that we have fallen in. Muslims are so interested in the dunya. So what's happened now is that we are so humiliated because the kuffar can see us. This you. I'm sorry, I think the microphone dropped. Can you hear me now? Alhamdulillah. I don't know exactly where it stopped, but I was just flying away, and then all of a sudden I saw the microphone not in front of me, so excuse me, inshallah ta'ala. Look, basically, inshallah, my beloved brothers and sisters, it is no other than what our hands have earned, and we really have to get back on our feet, inshallah. And no one can say, look at the ummah. Before you look at the ummah, look at yourself. Judge yourself before you get judged. As Umar ibn Khattab says, ask yourself, am I doing the right thing by Allah Ta'ala? Am I really worshipping Allah the way He wants me to worship Allah Ta'ala? Am I doing that which Allah Ta'ala wants me to do? Am I abstaining from that which Allah Ta'ala wants me to abstain from. So it's basically your part of the ummah, and your share of the ummah is to make your house under a khilafah, meaning under an Islamic state. You have the ability, as you are the shepherd to that flock of yours in your home, you know what you have to do, you do it, and then you are doing your part in your ummah. If you can go beyond that, then obviously you help those beyond that, beyond your home. But you are judged in accordance to what you are capable of doing. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its capability. وَأَيَّاكُمْ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ سِسْتَى لِيْسَى. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my beloved brother Phantom. Tabarakallah, it's a nice name, Phantom, subhanallah. Phantom Iceman. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But basically, the last 10 nights, I think I just touched a little bit on it, but how would you spend those last 10 nights? With a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. And we know that Muhammad used to tie his belt, meaning he used to tie the belt of worship. He would stay up praying a lot. He would stay up reading the Quran. He would stay up doing dhikr. So the best thing you can do in these nights is prayer, dhikr, remembrance, Quran, reading books of Islam, which will benefit you, especially about Tawheed. But basically, the best actions is, inshaAllah ta'ala, the prayer, the Quran, and the dhikr. And the dhikr. And a lot of dua. A lot of dua. And try to do it on your own. Try to do it on your own. I don't in particular advise you to be in groups, because in groups is going to cause you to speak, or maybe speak, negative. So try to be on your own in these nights as much as you can, and just restrict yourself. It's only 10 nights. Only 10 nights, brothers and sisters. Restrict yourself between you and Allah Ta'ala. You know, when I was a child, or actually not a child, just when I became I got into Islam, when I was about 19 years old, I think it was, and I just more or less just entered Islam, and I went to a mosque in Sydney called the Kemba Mosque, and it's the mosque of Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's the biggest mosque you can say in Australia. Now, I went there and not knowing anything about Islam, and it was on the so-called 27th night, as our brother Zayallahu Khairan Abdul Ghani al-Baptist mentioned, that many people think it is. And not knowing any better, I just thought that, you know, I'd go and spend the night there. So I saw the most ridiculous things. It was absolute ludicrous. They had the lights turned off, and they were doing singing, and they had the duff, and they had the flute, and they had this, and they had that, and they were just having a big party. They might as well have put up streamers and balloons on the and decorated the mosque with it, because all I saw was no more than a big party that night. And people socializing and smoking cigarettes, and that was to them reviving Laylatul Qadr. So in reality, all I could see was innovations built on that which the devil loves. Islam is not that, and Laylatul Qadr is not that. So I advise you again, in the last 10 nights inshallah, as much as you can, pray as much as you can, read the Quran as much as you can, do a lot of dhikr, and as much as you can, do dua. Especially a particular dua, which is, Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving, who loves pardon, so please pardon us. As for the repentance, my brother Phantom, the best method to make tawbah is Allah, as Allah says, tawbatan nasuha,
which is a sincere repentance. And no matter how much sin have you committed, know that the Almighty Lord, wallahi, will come and open His arms, His hands for you. Wallahi, no matter how much sin you have committed, every night, every morning, throughout the whole day, 24/7, the Almighty Lord is always there, always accepting the sincere repenter. And know that, despair not the mercy of the Almighty Lord. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sin. He is subhanAllah's companions committed paganism, idolatry. They were polytheists. Yet the Almighty Lord made them the best nation. The best nation. So I am pretty sure your sin has not reached to that, inshallah. And even if it has, despair not the mercy of the Almighty Lord, for indeed He forgives all sin, small and large. The best thing is to sincerely repent. What does sincerely repent mean? It means that you turn away. You turn away from that sin immediately. That you do not go back to it. That you feel remorse. You feel remorse to what you have done. You resent yourself. You resent yourself. Likewise, if you have taken any property that is not yours, or you have backbitten someone, you try to expiate that by returning that product if you're able to, or by seeking forgiveness from the person you have backbitten if you are able to. And if you are not able to, I advise you, inshallah, that you give, or you make dua for that person you have backbitten, a lot of dua, or you even give sadaqah on his behalf, but you obviously give it from your own earnings. Likewise, for the person you have wronged, by taking that which is not yours from that person, you give that person, if you cannot give it back to him personally or to her personally, you give sadaqah on his or her behalf. And Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Serenity. May the Almighty Lord, insha'Allah, embrace your parents with, insha'Allah, the light of Islam, the light of paradise, insha'Allah ta'ala. May He bless them with guidance to no other than the path of salvation. Allahumma ameen. As for the how do we know that Allah ta'ala loves us and is pleased with our actions? That's a very good question, Serenity. Basically, we know that the Hadith al-Qudsi mentions that the most beloved deeds to Allah Ta'ala that a person can, inshaAllah, fulfill are those which He has obligated us to do. Those which are the fara'id. For example, the five prayers, fasting the month of Ramadan, paying our zakat, and performing the obligated act to the house, the sacred house of Mecca. These are the obligated duties upon us. And that is the most loving to Allah Ta'ala, that we fulfill this. And that is all He really asks of us. And whoever fulfills these will enter paradise. And there's no doubt about that. Because Allah is the most truthful. There is no doubt about that. And inshallah, those who fulfill this with certainty, with commitment, with love, with full conviction, know that you are, inshallah, by Allah's mercy, you will enter paradise. May the Almighty Lord, inshaAllah, make us amongst those. Now, how do you know that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you? There is a good sign. The hadith continues the same. That whoever continues to do beyond these obligations, supererogatory or optional or voluntary acts of worship, the sunan acts, Allah Ta'ala, the more you continue doing that, and continue doing that, and the more you do, Allah Ta'ala will be more or less the limbs that you are utilizing, which is the eyes that you see with, the vision, the ears that you hear with, the hearing, the hand that you assault or touch with, the leg that you walk on, in other words, the tongue that you speak with, in other words, you will see in yourself the biggest sign, when you become closer to Allah, when you feel Allah more, by not touching what He has not wanted you to touch,
by not speaking except that which you have to speak, by not looking or seeing that which you are not supposed to see except what he loved you to see, by not hearing obscenity or indecency, by not walking to anywhere evil. When you see these signs in you, know that this is a great sign that Allah insha'Allah is pleased with you. Because he, as the hadith mentions, is the wali of Allah. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So what we gotta do is do as much as possible to acquire the acquisition of the supererogatory acts of worship. And the more we do, wallahi, the more sweetness that you feel in your faith. The more you do, the more you see evil, the more hatred you feel towards evil. And the more you do good deeds, the more contentment, the more purity and love you feel to do this, that you want to do this. And now when you want to do more acts of worship, it is a good sign that Allah is pleased with you. And likewise, when you abstain, and the more you abstain from that which Allah does not want you to do, that is another good sign that Allah is pleased with you. So you will in reality taste contentment, taste the sweetness of faith. So inshallah ta'ala, ponder over this, and let us try to be inshallah among those people. How do we ensure that our dua are answered in Ramadan? All we can do is make dua, and make dua at times where it's best to make dua. But do not be hasty. Do not be hasty in wanting that dua to be responded immediately to. You know what we've got to understand? If a person does dua, first of all, he immediately, if he does that dua to Allah Ta'ala, sincerely to him and to no one else, calling him directly and not going through so-called mediums and so forth, only to Allah, with sincerity, with love, with certainty that Allah Ta'ala responds, and only responds to your dua, know that you have already attained reward. Immediately. Why? Because you have called unto the one and the only one that can respond to you. That is Allah Ta'ala. Two, by your action, you believe that the Almighty Lord is your creator. Otherwise you would not be calling to him. So by doing this, you are rewarded. You are rewarded. Three, patience. Be patient. Do not say, as many people said, my list of dua have reached 100 dua, yet I'm not answered. I'm never answered, as one person told me in Sydney. He comes and shows me a big page of about 100 dua. He goes, every time I do all these dua, yet it's been months and months, I got nothing out of it. How are you going to get anything out of it if you're acting in such an arrogant way? You can't get anything out of it if you're acting in this way. What we got to understand is عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It may be that something that you might like, but Allah knows that it's no good for you, and vice versa. So Allah knows better than you at the end of the day. So He may give it to you in this world, He may give it to you, that which you ask for, or He may give you something better, which you may not know is better, but it is better, and Allah knows it's better. Or He may not give it to you at all in this world, but He will reward you for it on the day of judgment. So understand again, your dua is responded in one of these three. He may give it to you, or He may give you something better than what you have asked, or He may withhold it and reward you for that dua as long as you are patient. Condition, as long as you are patient. And may the Almighty Lord make our dua accepted inshaAllah, and let Him do what He pleases, how He pleases, when He pleases. We do the dua, whether it's inshaAllah given to us in this world or not, we accept it inshaAllah, and we love it, and we'll continue doing it. And may the Almighty Lord inshaAllah make us amongst those who do dua only for His sake and no other.
وإياكم إن شاء الله serenity. The Almighty Lord inshallah bless us and reward us all inshallah. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته أم القسام. Look, there are many people out there that have that sort of negative approach, and that is not a negative approach, it's an evil approach, and that is evil, evil suspicion of Allah Ta'ala, وَلِعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. It's extremely haram that you abstain from an act believing that Allah Ta'ala will not accept their actions because of what they have done or what they are doing in sin and so forth. And thus they leave them. Now basically what we got to understand, Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor, Allah Ta'ala is Al-Wadood, Allah Ta'ala is the all-loving, the affectionate, the most gracious, the most merciful, the all-forgiving, the acceptor of repentance. Subhanallah, when the Almighty Lord says something, He means it. If He says that He loves the turning slave or the returning slave to Him more than the lady towards her child, her baby when she loses him and thus finds him, He means that. Despair not the mercy of Allah. Allah clearly says that to you. Meaning, do those acts, even if your sin has accumulated the size of Uhud. Understand that the Almighty Lord is all forgiving to those who want to be forgiven, to those who want to sincerely repent. There is a hadith that mentions, it's in Bukhari or Muslim, that mentions, oh my slave, if your sins have accumulated the size of mountains, but you come to me on the day of resurrection ascribing no partners unto me, then I will come to you with a mountain of forgiveness. A mountain of forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. This is our Lord, our Creator, the most merciful, the most gracious. You know, as the hadith mentions, how can you go wrong with a Lord that laughs? Hadith Sahih. Our Lord laughs. So how can we go wrong with a Lord that laughs? On a day of resurrection, a man will come with a balance, an extremely heavy balance of sin, a lot of sin. Then he will think that he is destroyed, he is doomed. Then the Almighty Lord says, have you got any good? Because all I have, Ya Allah, is La Ilaha Illallah. So he will say, put it in that scale, in that balance. And that man will think he's finished, he's destroyed, when he says all his sin. So he puts it in the scale, and wallahi, my beloved brothers and sisters, that scale becomes heavier than all the sin he has come with. Allah is At-Tawwab, Al-Ghafoor, Ar-Rahman. Then we forget the story of the man that killed 100 people, yet he was deserving sincere repentance. He wants to return back to Allah Ta'ala, despite his killing of 100 people. So when Allah Ta'ala knows your intention, and he knew the intention of this murderer, yet this murderer is returning to Allah sincerely, and Allah knew this. So he made the earth that was closer to the path of righteousness shorter than the path of wickedness. And thus the angel of mercy, behold, took him. And the angel that was to take him to punishment withheld and went away, because Allah Ta'ala commanded it. What we got to know and understand is that our Lord is most gracious, most merciful, all loving. He loves us. But who does He love? He loves the returning slave. He loves the one who sincerely repents. He loves the one who opens his hands and stretches it out loud and long to Allah, to the heavens, and says, Ya Allah, from my heart I repent. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, I have wronged myself. So please forgive me.
Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Allah Ta'ala will forgive. And this is His name. So these people that are in despair, they have adopted the path of the devil by having a'udhu billah, evil suspicion to their Lord, to their Creator. Understand, teach them the names of Allah, teach them Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat. What I advise you, my beloved brother or sister Umar Ghussain, is to teach these people Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, for indeed they have not understood who Allah Ta'ala is. And until they understand this beautiful deen, this Tawheed, they will never understand. And they will never turn to Allah Ta'ala. So our duty, first and foremost, before we do anything, is the recognition, to understand, to recognize who our Lord is, who Allah Ta'ala is. And without us knowing who Allah Ta'ala is, we can never perfect. We can never perfect our deen. We can never pray with love and want and desire. Instead, we pray with just hastiness. We rush it. We don't know what we say, how we say it, our bowing, our standing, our sujood is just like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. Because why? Because we have no feeling, no understanding, no recognition of why we are praying, to whom we are praying, and this is likewise to all the pillars of Islam. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So I advise, when you want to do da'wah, that you start with the most important, the most imperative, that is Tawheed, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. For indeed these people have وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلِعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ, they have evil suspicion of Allah, and that is a'udhu billah kufr. It is kufr in essence. May the Almighty Lord guide them and strengthen their faith in Allah Ta'ala and their love for Allah Ta'ala and their recognition of who Allah Ta'ala is. Allahumma ameen. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My beloved, brother, or beloved sister, shut your face. SubhanAllah. Anyway, sorry to say that, but that's what I'm reading in front of me. Basically, yeah, it is a bit nice. So I don't want to sort of offend you, brother or sister, but yeah, just change that sort of, you know, nickname of yours. Just make it a bit more sweeter. It's a bit bitter there, a bit sour, you know. People look at it and say, shut your face. Subhanallah, what's this guy talking about? Anyway, inshallah, it's up to you at the end of the day. It's a bit derogative, but however, inshallah, it's your choice. May Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, have mercy on you. As to your question, Habibi. Again, we've got to understand, as I mentioned earlier on, in our authentic narration, know that the Almighty Lord, wallahi, if you come with sin, with mountains of sin, mountains and mountains and mountains, but you come with a sincere repentance. In fact, when you repent sincerely, the Almighty Lord will exchange all those sins that have reached to the heavens, that have reached to Mars even, to Mars, He will exchange that all for the better. In other words, from the detriment to the betterment, from wickedness to righteousness, from sin to reward. So the more sin you had in the past, and once you sincerely return to Allah and repent, the more good you have, inshaAllah, when you become a Muslim, a good Muslim. You know, subhanAllah, which faith offers this? That if you had sin the size of mountains, the size of the heavens, to the heavens, and then you repent, that all that sin becomes good rewards for you. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is Islam? How sweet is Islam? It's unfortunate and sad that people have not understood this beautiful deen. You know, I cannot understand how people can come and still deny this beautiful path. It's so easy to understand. It is a path of light. A path of certainty. There's no doubtfulness in it. All answers in Islam, all questions are answered. There is no doubt in it. There is no confusion. As I said one time to a priest, when I was more or less in search of a way of life, I actually went to the church and asked, this is before I more or less became a Muslim, you can say, I went and asked a church, a priest in the church, and said to him, you know, what's the concept of the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know, you say that it was only one God, yet you worship three gods, I said to this priest. And he said to me, no, we only worship one God. But I said, hold on, you just said to me, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Father. I don't understand, you're confusing me, I said to him. He goes, son, you have to accept it. We worship one God, but three gods, we have these three are God. Again, I said to him, but Father, I called him Father, he's Shaitan now to me. I don't understand you, I'm sorry. You're confusing me. He goes, you have to understand and you have to believe it like this. I said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I believe that Allah, God, did not send a religion, a deen to confuse me, but he sent a deen to guide me. To guide me with certainty, with no confusion. And he goes to me, my son, my son, my son. And I said to him, anyway, what so I said to him? I said, you and your son, Allah ma'ak. So I walked away and alhamdulillah Allah placed me in the hands of Islam. Bifadlillahi ta'ala. So in Islam, alhamdulillah, everything is simple. It is easy. It is answered. And this is the sweetness of Islam and the beauty of Islam. Now, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sister Sarah. Now, there is no such thing in Islam as i'tikaf at home. This is an innovation if you intend to do i'tikaf at home. There is nowhere in the sunnah that any of the companions or Muhammad sallam ever performed i'tikaf at home. Instead, i'tikaf is solely for the masajid. If it was allowed at home, surely the female companions, surely the mothers of the believers would have done it at home, in their own privacy, in their own privy, than to go to the mosque. It would have been easier for them. But in reality, it is only done in the mosque, and anyone that does i'tikaf, or intends i'tikaf at home, has committed a novelty, a innovation, and that must be stopped and warned against. So no, sister, you cannot do it at home. وَلَا حُولَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And how should we go about doing it? Well, basically, i'tikaf means that you isolate yourself in a mosque for the last 10 days. Some say you can do it for 5 days, some say you can do it for 9 days, some say you can do it for 1 day, some say you can even do it for half a day, it depends what you have intended. But i'tikaf must be in accordance to the sunnah, which is, first of all, in a mosque, you isolate yourself, you abandon yourself from the entire world. That's what i'tikaf is. You make that last or that intention of yours, the 10 days, 5 days or whatever, solely between you and Allah. Meaning there is nothing involved in that period, only worship. Only worship. You are not allowed to go shopping. You are not allowed to go visit people. You are not even allowed to go visit the sick in that time. You are not allowed to exit the mosque unless for a dire need. For example, there's no food, and you want to go and eat. Obviously, it's a necessity of life. You can't continue doing it to get no food. So if the food, the mosque does not cater for food, then obviously you got to go and buy your food. But be sure that while you're going to buy your food, you are quiet.
You go immediately or directly to the place where the food is, and the closest to the mosque you got to go. You walk there, get that food, and go rushing back. Know how you're going and meeting my fulan and my hulan, meeting Joe Blow and meeting Blow Blow. No. You go to get your food and go back to the mosque and you worship Allah Ta'ala. While you're at the mosque, you don't socialize. You know, you don't go and meet people and talk to people and tell them my business is going great and it's going bad or it's going this or it's going that. No. This is not itikaf. No worldly issues must be spoken at all. No worldly issues. It all must be solely worship. Be very careful that you do not utter a word of dunya. It is not acceptable. It will make your itikaf deficient. And beware and extra cautious of saying something haram, whether it's backbiting or gossiping or whatever, tail mongering or tail bearing. Be very careful. That is the most evil in itikaf, and that can in reality result to a null itikaf. So itikaf, basically the rules are that you remain in solitude, in isolation between you and Allah Ta'ala. This is why I say, and I encourage, that when you do itikaf, you try to do it independently. Unless you are sure of controlling yourself, which is usually hard, where you sit together and recite Quran, for example, or you understand the Quran, but you restrict yourself to only worshipping Allah. Nothing should be said, nothing should be done except that which is in accordance to worship. Wabillahi tawfiq.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته وفيك تبارك يا اختصار. الدعاء في سبيل المؤمنين. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Some students of knowledge and shuyukh Ahl Sunnah in the West have signed a declaration of unity with the Asha'iras. They called it Pledge of Mutual Respect and Cooperation. In this declaration, they have recognized the Asha'iras as a legitimate Sunni school, or to regard our differences with them as legitimate. What do you think? And inshallah ta'ala, we don't want to get into the Ash'ari madhab and school. Obviously, I don't agree with this. It is absolute, it is wrong. There is no base for what this so-called interfaith dialogue in reality, which they have sort of called to, mutual sort of acceptance. This is wrong, obviously. The Ash'ariya have their faults. They are, yes, we can say the closest to Ahl Sunni wal Jama'ah. They are the closest of all the madhabs, in the sense of the madhabs like Al-Murji'ah, or Al-Mu'tazilah, or Al-Khawarij, or Al-Jibriyah, and so Al-Qadriyah, and so forth. They are the closest of all these groups. However, they do have their faults in the Aqidah. The Aqidah. And we all know the Ash'ariya only believe in 7 attributes, and this is absolutely haram. Basically, we don't want to get into their madhab. This is not acceptable under the Islamic Sharia, and those people who have cooperated and said there is a pledge of mutual respect and cooperation, this is based on falsity, and my opinion is totally unacceptable. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. وأياكم يا حبيبي يا الدعاء في سبيل المؤمنين إن شاء الله. اللهم استعان اللهم استعان. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Rick Seafish, تبارك الله. May the Almighty Lord inshallah envelop you of His mercy and His blessings. Yes, there were good old days, subhanAllah, Jawasi, may Allah Ta'ala, inshaAllah, return them with prosperity, inshaAllah, and with blessings. Regarding the Friday attendance, now, if you are, as you mentioned, my brother, inshaAllah, or my sister, I'm not sure, my work is in an area with no mosques obviously, your brother Zakallah Khairan, with no mosque, what are your suggestions? Well, if you are in an area where there are no mosques near to you and you cannot attend Jum'ah, then inshallah ta'ala you are excused. You are excused. On the base that you cannot drive to a mosque. Now when you say in the area, do you mean the area around you has no mosque, or you cannot travel to a mosque, or the mosque is too far? Like for example, it's a half 40 minute drive or 50 minute drive. Is that the meaning of this brother Rex, or it is impossible for you to go to the mosque due to the distance? If it is impossible for you, absolutely. If it's that 1 hour away, obviously it's going to be extremely hard. Are there Muslims with you, Rexy? Are there any Muslims there? You are working with Aussies, subhanAllah. Well, Aborigines? Aussies are Aborigines. I don't call those the train draggers or the convicts Aussies. I call them English or Scottish or whatever they are, but Aussies are Aborigines. Ala kulli hal, if you have no ability and you are, as you said, obviously inshallah, we ask the Almighty Lord that He excuses you due to your situation. If you have, my beloved brother Rex, one brother there, then you should pray Jum'ah with him. Because according to the correct opinion, in your situation, if there is one more brother that is like you, then both of you, inshallah, can make a Friday Jum'ah out of it. Because inshallah, it is Jama'ah if you have two people. And that is according to the stronger of opinions, inshallah. So however, if you have no other person with you, we ask the Almighty Lord that He forgives you, inshallah, due to your circumstance. بارك الله فيك إن شاء الله. الحمد لله. Looks like there is no more أياكم إن شاء الله. There's no more questions. And if that is the case, we'll leave it at that إن شاء الله تعالى. And I love you too, my beloved brother Rexy. May the Almighty Lord love you for the same reason that you love me for. Now what we'll do إن شاء الله تعالى is we'll allow the brothers and sisters who are gonna do iftar any second now to inshallah close this chat room so they can go for the iftar, and inshallah may the Almighty Lord reward them for their beautiful long day of fasting, especially British, huh? Subhanallah. Anyway, basically yes, subhanallah, the brothers and sisters in England, barakallahu fikum, my beloved sisters from Denmark, and we've got to understand this room is in reality a Denmark room. The sisters who run it are from Denmark, and they are called Allies of the Merciful, who are basically running an organization in Denmark. It's a new organization on the path of no other than Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We ask the Almighty Lord inshallah to strengthen them and to allow their da'wah to flourish inshallah to all parts of that country and beyond. Now I've been asked to remind the sisters that there will be a Wednesday night class inshallah for sisters only that I will be given in my chat room called Faith Over Fear. That will be inshallah Wednesday night. Again, it's called the reminder for Amatullah. The reminder, a reminder for the slave or the servant, female servant of Allah Ta'ala, Amatullah. And this is only for sisters. That will be, what time is it? I think it was 10 o'clock at night. Does anyone know the time for that lesson? Sister Asya, do you know the time? Hmm? 10 p.m. Sydney time? Okay then. 10 p.m. Sydney time, 8 p.m. Malaysian time, and it will be 1 p.m. GMT, English time. So, inshallah, feel free to attend that. It's going to be just a reminder, again, for the Amatullah. It's called a reminder for Amatullah, and it is again for sisters only. So may the Almighty Lord inshallah bless us and bless the sisters of Allah of the Merciful and all those that help inshallah. And we'll leave it at that inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.